Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a real delight to be here in Berlin for the first time. So I don't know what you said in the introduction, but this is my first time in Germany. It's my first time in Berlin. And I've just been really very, very welcomed to the city and to the country by these guys from the community. It's been lovely just spending time with you over the last day since I've been here. So thank you for that. And yeah, delightful to be here at long last in the, let me see if I can get it right. So, Buddhistische Tor Berlin.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay, there. Yeah. So, yeah, really, I've heard so much about it, and to see it in real life is great. So, yeah, thank you. So, I have been, today I've been doing what somebody's called the classic tour of for all the tourist stuff. So, I went to the Brandenburg Tor with Toby and a few other places, which again, yeah, I, obviously places I've just heard about or seen. And to see in real life, but probably all of you are like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I heard it all before. I've seen it all before. Yeah,
but it's a big deal for me. It's like, yeah, it's cool. But yeah, so one of the things I was thinking about, and it was quite a lot to take in, as I was being given the classic tour. One of the things that struck me was just how how much change has taken place in that area. In my lifetime, in the last 30 years, a massive change. Who 30 years ago would have thought that in that area there'd just be loads of Japanese tourists with selfie sticks, you know, taking these pictures of themselves in front of the tour. Yeah. Yeah, just, so places change, you know, and I think this is one of the things I'm slowly understanding about Berlin is just how much change there has been and continues to be in the city. It seems really very vibrant for that. And also, these sorts of transformations can take place in individuals, in people. 30 years ago, you wouldn't have thought a little baby in England with two Christian parents who'd been christened in the Church of England would be in the basement of an old hospital in Berlin talking about Buddhism, you know. So it's like, we can't really, I don't think we can really imagine what we can become, or rather, what we can become has the potential to go beyond what we think we can become. And that was sort of what I said in the blurb for this evening, hopefully faithfully translated into German. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Faithfully. Yeah. I did my best.
Yeah, yeah. I recently in Oxford. I come from Oxford. I don't know whether you said that, but I live in Oxford, in England. And recently, I was giving my life story to the Oxford Sangha. So the small group that meets in Oxford, I was sort of revealing the some of the milestones, the Meilenstein?
Meilenstein,
yeah, yeah. From my life to this small group, and it's a really good practice, really good thing to do if you haven't already had the opportunity to tell your life story to other people. I really recommend it. It certainly draws out, for me in preparing it, it drew out a lot of memories about who I was when I was growing up. And even a lot of ideas that I had about what I wanted to become. So this was a theme that I was looking at, was what I wanted to become. So maybe I'll just say a few of those because, I think they're interesting just from a perspective of getting to know me a little bit. So one of the things when I was about 5 or 6 years old, that I really wanted to become was a British Secret Service agent. Do you have James Bond? Do you know James Bond? Yeah. So just like James Bond, you know. So fighting baddies for the greater good. Touring around the world. All these very romantic locations. And, of course, getting the girl in the end. Yeah, he always gets the girl in the end. I was really taken by this as a sort of myth, a personal myth, when I was growing up. And I remember particularly one Saturday morning. I think I woke up a little bit before my parents and my brother. It was like an early Saturday morning. And I had a very lively imagination. So I thought, oh yeah, I'll play being James Bond. But I couldn't really be James Bond in my pyjamas. It just didn't work, you know. He's always very well dressed, very smart. So I tried to find the smartest clothes I could find. So I got my school shoes, because they were quite smart. Yeah, they were nicely polished. And I thought, well, probably the smartest trousers I have are my school uniform trousers. And the smartest shirt I have is my school shirt. And I had a tie as well, which was my school uniform tie. And, you know, so I was running around the house, you know, sort of hiding behind walls and pretending to, do away with the bad guys. And then my dad woke up and he saw me doing this and he thought, you do know it's not a school day today, don't you? And I just remember being so crestfallen. I thought I was kind of living this dream in the only way I could as a six-year-old. But I think actually there was a lot of good in that. Although it was obviously the British Secret Service has a mixed reputation, but it's something about being part of something that I saw as being for the good of the world. Like the politics and stuff isn't such a great thing, but this idea of there is evil in the world, and I, even as a six-year-old, wanted to do something about it, and this was the kind of vision I had of what I would become. I thought it was quite interesting just to reflect on, 20 whatever years later. And then there are a few other things as well. So obviously I wanted to play football for England. That's what every English schoolboy wants to do. And I realised fairly early on that wasn't going to happen. So that was okay. I learnt from that experience. And then more towards towards the end of my teens, I wanted to be a kind of rock star guru. So I grew my hair very long. Obviously that's what you do, and I wrote a lot of music. I wrote songs and things, and I think I wanted to be seen to be wise and also make a lot of money and be famous and be popular. So I had that sort of idea as well. And then various other things. I wanted to become a maths teacher, and then I did become a maths teacher. And then decided I didn't really want to become a maths teacher. I moved on from that. Yeah. And then more recently, I don't know kind of when this happened, but more and more I felt like I wanted to become like the Buddha. So it's we have this Buddha Rupa here. I don't know why or when this started. I can't kind of pinpoint a moment when I thought, oh yeah, that's obviously when this happened. But I mean, one thing I really like about this this image of the Buddha is he just seems so happy, like this. He's got a big smile and he's just completely content. And that's just one of the qualities that really attracts me about the Buddha is the possibility of being, just sitting still and being completely happy, being completely at ease. Which is not something I experience as often as I would want to, but I want to. I do want to, and I continue to want to more and more strongly. And I'm going to make an outrageous claim, And that outrageous claim is, I think I